This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Danielle from Hertfordshire, and I'm nearly 10 months sober now. I was probably what you'd call a grey area drinker. I didn't drink all the time, but when I did, I didn't really have an off switch, and it just left me feeling low energy, low motivation, and just not really an optimal version of myself. I joined the OTI community after listening to the awesome Over the Influence podcast for quite a few months, and I've never looked back. There's Zoom calls every week on different days. You actually get to see Shaz and Ben, which is so exciting, and make that kind of community a reality and really come to life. I would highly, highly recommend joining the Over the Influence community. It was the game changer for me to feel connected in sobriety.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Over the Influence. This is the podcast about alcohol-free life. And I'm doing the intro because the guest today is someone you know very well, dear listener. It's Sharon Hartley. But before
this
we get
weird.
To that, it is, you know what, I don't like it.
Really weird.
I know that you're in the
can
guest seat today.
Can I do the
today.
Intro?
Yeah, can you do the intro? It's weird.
I'll do the intro.
It's weird.
I'll hand
it
back
to you.
It
feels wrong. Yeah.
New intro. I didn't like that
at all. I mean, okay, I'm slightly upset.
And that was harsh. Sorry,
Yeah, you could have phrased it differently.
It's felt weird.
But I get what you're saying. Okay, you do it.
Right, I'll do my bit and we'll just do your bit. Go from there.
Yeah, and then transition from host to guest.
Yeah.
All be explained.
It'll become apparent, won't it, I think.
Yeah.
Right, okay, let's do it as we normally do it. Welcome.
Welcome,
welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It is fantastic to have you listening wherever you may be on your AF journey. What I really enjoy sometimes, apart from all of this, is when we speak to people that have got an AF journey to share, be it a community member or whoever it might be. Quite often they say that they found this podcast while they were drinking. So a seed had been sown, you know, so you might be listening to this still drinking. You might be sober curious. You might be sober, alcohol free, teetotal, however you want to label it. If indeed you want to use a label, you don't need to. It's just really good to have you listening. So thank you. We hope you enjoy the pod half as much as we enjoy recording it. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. 5.5 years, alcohol free. It's ace. It was only ever meant to be a break for like 90, 100 days, and everything just started to change. Everything that was rubbish about alcohol, every sort of part of my life that it impacted, it began to impact it in a positive way simply by removing one thing. It's just so, so good, honestly. And we get great pleasure from wanging on about the joys of sobriety week in, week out here on Over the Influence. I do not do this on my own. Ben Anderson.
Hello, I'm Ben.
Are you feeling all right now? Is this okay?
Living in Liverpool, this is better. It's just that groove, that familiar groove. Stepdad to Alfie Millie, dad to baby Leo, husband to Jem. And in less than 3 months, I will be 4 years alcohol free. I wasn't a daily drinker. I didn't have an off switch. I'd go out the weekend and I'd really pack them away. But I think mainly for me, I saw my drinking change. Whereas in my 20s, I drank because it was fun. In my 30s, I started drinking because of stress and to escape certain things. And it was a slippery slope, I think. And I don't know what would have happened if I'd carried on drinking. But luckily, I didn't need to find out because Over the Influence came into my life at exactly the right time. And I love being alcohol-free. We do this podcast every week, although slightly different this week, Sharon, because you...
Feels really weird.
You are in the hot seat, because this episode is called Sharon Hartley, The Patient. Where do we start?
That sounds so... Dun-dun-dun, doesn't it? I don't know where to start.
You want to call it the patient with no patience.
Sharon Hartley, the not very patient
The not patient. Very patient patient, yes. Yeah,
yeah.
Because you are.
I'm not.
No, and we will get into this, and I will put my stern voice on.
Oh God!
But I think cards on the table. We've got to say it. there might be, and we said, and we will always endeavour, and we've got lots of recordings in the bag to try and make this happen, but we try and release a podcast every single week without fail. You know, every Monday for the rest of time, there'll be a free Over the Influence podcast for you to enjoy, hopefully. But we're kind of putting it out there that we don't know if that's, we can't guarantee that's going to be the case.
We don't know, do we, how the land lies?
Well, yeah, because you've got something quite major coming up, but we thought that it was also worth digging into a bit more and talking about today, because it's hugely linked with alcohol-free life, everything that's coming up. Look, I'll stop talking. You're the guest. Sharon Hartley, over to you.
Oh, God.
How are you first of all? That's usually the first. How are you, first of all?
Yeah. Welcome to the pod. How are you doing? Don't know, actually. How am I doing? I'm doing all right, thank you. It's really unnerving being on the other side of the mic as such. I have literally got nothing prepared for this episode. I don't know what you're going to ask me. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know how much I'm going to share. But you know me, well, both of us, actually, to be honest, Over the Influence at the heart of it is very much oversharing. And we, you know, we've talked about just about every aspect of us as drinkers and of our lives without alcohol. And it's why we do what we do, because we always say, don't we, no matter the episode, no matter the guest, if it resonates with one person, mm-hmm. and there are thousands upon thousands of people that listen to this across the globe, if there's just one, and that there always is, you always get that email or that DM or that message just to say, that person you've spoken to, that's my story. Oh my goodness me, something you just said then about drinking too much, too quickly, too often, that is my life. So that's why we do it, that's why we overshare. But I don't feel prepared.
You so don't need to be. It's all right. We're just having, like we say to every guest, this is not an interview. It's a conversation.
Oh yeah, we do, don't we?
Let's follow the tangents. Yeah, but you know, I think we should probably start by saying that we have talked about this briefly on our premium podcast, the subscriber only podcast, and the reaction was quite overwhelming, wasn't it? Just, you know, bearing in mind that there's a lot more people that listen to this than listen to the premium pod.
Yeah. Completely. Should we just jump in then? Should we just go for it?
Yeah. Go. Let's go for it. What's going on?
Right. Yeah. So I'll bring you up to speed. So when this podcast episode comes out, the chances are, will I have had the op? Possibly not.
I think it will be like that week, basically.
Yeah. It'll all be happening around that time. And what I won't do is get into the finer details of it. However, what I'm more than happy to share is that given my age, which is 50 years old, you know, I was 50 last November, had
no,
the best
sorry, I was
alcohol
slow
free
there,
birthday.
Wasn't I? No, 50? So I was slow.
You look about 30, alcohol-free life, free facelift, yeah. You're looking great, all that jazz, mm-hmm. although I absolutely don't at the moment. So I've turned 50. I think I've shared probably more on the premium podcast than the main podcast, because obviously this podcast, it's all about the guest, isn't it, and their stories and everything they share. Of course, we chirp up occasionally, but not with everything that's going on. So been going through perimenopause, probably, I don't know, it's really hard to say. It's such a muddled time. 2-3 years, possibly, something like that. And with that has come a whole crappy list of stuff that's going on.
We don't need to go into, you know, if you don't want to. I think the one way of describing this is something that's going to, you've been told, and this is where my stern voice comes out, because I am going to be telling you when you're texting me going, oh, we could do this about OTI, what do you think about this? Da, 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 da. I'm going to say, the doctor told you there's a 3-month recovery period, Sharon.
Yeah.
And you must do nothing for 3 months. That kind of gives you an idea of the scale of the...
So I'm having surgery, basically. I'm having an operation, and it's going to improve my quality of life, and it's going to be beneficial to my overall women's health. Okay, but the surgery does mean that basically I'm going to be out of action for the best part of probably about 3 months, in hospital for a couple of days, and then, you know, a couple of weeks to, I don't know, properly recover, and then after that it's going to be weeks of basically just taking it easy, and I've been told doing nothing. And so it's those two words that have completely and utterly, aside from everything else that's going on, have freaked me out. Like, how do you do nothing when we do what we do? I don't know where to start.
Well, you know what? Hold that thought. We'll come back to that. Because I think, first of all, we should talk about how being alcohol-free has played a part in all of this. Because as you say, you know, 2-3 years, maybe, it's not like you get an email. Your perimenopause has started.
Yeah, you haven't got a clue.
So, but how does removing alcohol, would you be here now? Because obviously you're, like you say, this is going to really improve your quality of life, hopefully, in lots of different ways. But why is being alcohol-free, what's that bit of your life played in getting to this bit of it?
So I think, oh God, it's like 10 different balls of string that are all muddled up together. I think when you hit a certain age, and I can only speak as a woman, when you hit a certain age as a woman and as a drinker, okay? So I hit 44 as a drinker and felt atrocious. You know, I just sort of knew that this was probably not going to end well. You know, if I kept drinking at the rate I was drinking and the amounts I was drinking, because as we know, we hear this week in, week out, it's progressive. You need more. Your body needs more. And so at the age of 44, I took that break in order to reset and to prove, obviously, I didn't have a problem and that I would go back to a much more moderate style of drinking at the end of that break, because I never meant to be alcohol free. You know, how often do I remind people of that? I never set out to be sober or to do this podcast or this community. It was only ever going to be a break. But what happened during that break is that there wasn't a single aspect of my life that didn't begin to improve. And you know what? That's still ongoing 5.5 years down the line. This, what we're talking about today, is all part of this. But once I remove the alcohol, and if this is you as a woman in midlife thinking you feel absolutely terrible, once you remove the alcohol, which does its own fine job of really making you feel terrible, even if you're drinking, you know, relatively small amounts, if you have got a habitual, you know, drinking habit, that can still have an impact on your mental health and your physical health. Once you remove that from the equation, okay, and give it a few weeks in order for your body to reset and for your sleeping patterns to come back to normal and for your body to settle down. Once you've removed that, you know exactly what you're dealing with. So whereas in the past, I might have thought that alcohol was causing a foggy head, that alcohol was causing my eyeballs to feel dry. I'll come back to this because it's a thing.
I never knew, like, if we weren't friends, I wouldn't know that was a thing.
It's so a thing, honestly.
Dry balls.
I'll come back to it. That's, could be another thing as well. Just, it sounds awful. You know, if you are feeling tired and lethargic and sluggish and you're aching and all the rest of it, and you can't put your finger, it just must be it's the booze. I just feel rotten. When you remove the alcohol, okay, and you've reset and your body's getting back to normal, if you are still feeling really foggy and you've got these dry eyeballs and there's parts of your body aching and you're not quite sure, you know, what's causing it, or you're feeling anxious and you've never actually had these feelings before, you can then begin to create this almost like this tick list of stuff, of symptoms. And because you've removed the alcohol, you know for a fact it's not that. And then you're left with this really long list of stuff that's still going on, which I actually typed up in my phone, Ben. And I went to the doctors, I don't know if it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I went, hello, I've got all this going on. Please, can you help? And they're like, OMG, it is actually textbook perimenopause. This is what's happening. And this is why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And then it was a case of HRT and try this and do a bit of that. And had I not removed the booze at the age I did, it would be a complete shit show because I wouldn't know exactly what I'm dealing with. And what also happens as well when you remove alcohol is that you have more time to sort stuff out, important stuff, right? And it can be something as little as, I don't know, renewing your house insurance, tidying that drawer, that job you've been meaning to put off. Do you know what I mean? But also what comes with removing the booze is you begin to look after yourself an awful lot more. So yeah, you are going to book into the dentist. You are going to get this appointment done. I did have this issue where basically I just can't stop going to the loo. It's blighting everything. It's an absolute flipping nightmare. All the community members know about this because when they come hiking with me, I'm like, I'm just going to be on that rock. I'll be back and I'm going to be on that rock. I'm going to be on that rock. And so I've had this ongoing issue, but I have gone to the GP and then referred to a consultant, and it's now means this is why I'm going to be off, because I'm having this this procedure to put things right. It gives you the clarity and actually the confidence to deal with everything, and that it's okay. Do you know what I mean? That you just get stuff done. And so I feel really, really happy that I know none of what I've been feeling and the way I've been is because of alcohol, because that was removed a long time ago. So everything that's going on now, it's valid. Do you know what I mean? And it's either an issue or it isn't. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I mean, I want to ask the question, do you think if you hadn't removed alcohol when you had and made this change, do you think that these kind of, yes, I know what you're saying about kind of the muddling of, is that the alcohol, is that a symptom of perimenopause? But let's say that you went to the doctor and you gave them your list of symptoms and they went, yep, you know, that is, you know, you're a drinker, but also this is classic perimenopause stuff here. Could you have used that as an excuse to drink more, maybe?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Would I have actually gone to the doctors? Possibly not.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah. No, possibly not. Because I don't think I'd have known. And also, I might have been bothered about them asking me if I drank. Right. And it's always that case, isn't it, with a medical professional. You're like, oh, you know, just a few glasses a week. You know, you halve it, don't you? You halve it and then some. I don't know. That's a really interesting question.
Because I'd imagine that would be one of the worst things that you could do. I don't know.
Oh, completely.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think how I felt over these last couple of years, like hormonally and physically and mentally, had I been drinking through all that, oh God, I wouldn't have known where I was at all. And you know, like menopause can, it can affect sleep patterns as well. Well, so can alcohol. You know, you think you're getting a good night's sleep. It's just knocking you out. It's rubbish. It's shoddy sleep. Remove the booze. See how your sleep pattern changes, if at all. And that's, you know, another symptom that you could well be looking at.
Okay. So how are you feeling about it all?
A little bit apprehensive, but I'm dead chuffed that I'm getting it sorted. That's fine. And, you know, I've got an amazing family. I've got brilliant friends. I've got you holding the OTI fort along with a load of amazing people with us there as well and community members. So, yeah, on that side of things, I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm just a little bit apprehensive. What feels really weird is sort of being off for like 3 months because I can't come to Snowdon, which I was genuinely gutted about. Not able to do that. Chances are, will I be able to? Well, I won't be going up Ben Nevis. I know that much. Whether I'm recovered enough to do the car journey there and met Bruce, I've no idea. You know, it's all TBC. But all of a sudden, like everything that was in the diary is postponed or it's on hold. So I don't know. I feel okay. A little bit apprehensive. I think I'm more bothered about not doing anything. I feel strange.
Let's dig into that, Sharon. Let's go. I'm going to turn to coaching Ben.
Your favourite.
Your favourite, Ben.
Oh, it does my head in when you do this.
Why?
So then, Sharon.
I'm a trained coach.
I know you are.
I have a diploma.
You are a fabulous one.
Like, you have a diploma in positive coaching.
I know.
What is it? Coaching in positive psychology? Positive? I don't know what it is. It's good. It's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's a good diploma that means we can coach. Why do you, Sharon Hartley, find it so difficult to do nothing? Because my God, like, I love it. I love waking up and my first text of the day is from you at like 5:05.
And you're actually not even joking. So if I've been on a breakfast shift, you will get an early message.
Yeah. And then, you know, and we will, you're on air doing things and, you know, you've got some, just in case the boss is listening.
Obviously, don't text me back.
No, I'm not in work hours. but you are constantly on the go. Why do you find it difficult to do nothing? Because as we discussed on our premium podcast, which community members and subscribers will have heard a few weeks ago, the new wellness trend that's taking over Denmark. Was it Denmark? Somewhere like a Scandinavian country. It's called Nixon, N-I-K-S-E-N. And it means literally doing nothing. And we had a good conversation about Nixoning. We're not sure if it is called Nixon, if that is the verb, to Nixon. But the theory of it is it's not like go and sit somewhere and meditate. You know, that it's slightly different because that mindfulness is different to Nixoning. Nixon is basically literally do nothing and let your mind just wander wherever it wants to go. Like, do no phones, nothing, do nothing. Why do you find it so hard to do that?
I don't know. I don't know. When I've tried doing nothing in the past, and sometimes I do, you know, and this might sound a bit weird, but saying that, I'm probably still on my phone, so it's not pure, you know, it's not actually doing nothing. I do like sitting in not necessarily a dark room, just a room with no lights on, but with the curtains open, daylight's coming in, I've got a brew, I've got no radio on, it's a silent, silent house. I can do that for about 20 minutes max, and then I start to do my own head in. And then I just like go and put the radio on or do a chore or do something.
Mm.
I am useless, like at doing nothing. And I don't know why.
Just to give you a behind the scenes of the conversation Sharon had with her doctor, not that I was there, but she told me straight afterwards. The doctor said, Sharon, you've got to do nothing for 3 months. And Shaz said, yeah, but I can go to work, can't I? And the doctor said, "Well, no, you must do nothing for 3 months." And Shaz said, "Yeah, but all I do is open my big gob for a living." Was that the exact phrase? All I do is open my big gob for a living.
I just sit on my arse and talk.
yeah. So surely I can go to work. And the doctor said, "Sharon, you're having an operation and the recovery period is 3 months. You cannot go to work."
And then, it honestly knocked me for six. I thought it would be a couple of weeks, like a couple of weeks off, because I just said to him, I just talk, I just sit down. And when I'm not at work, I just sit down at home and, you know, talk on the podcast. He's like, no driving, no nothing. That's it. You are going to rest. And I think the thought of that actually freaks me out more than the thought of surgery, which is bizarre.
We are going to see how the compromise that we've come to, Sharon, because I am your concerned friend. And I said to you, well, in that case, we have 3 months off. You know, that like you've got to do what the doctor said.
Yeah.
But we have come to a compromise, which is if you can create a podcast setup in your bed that doesn't require any sort of strenuous activity to get it there, then we, as long as you really don't have to move, then we might record podcast episodes. That's where we're up to, isn't it?
Yeah. We absolutely might. But also what we are attempting to do as best we can. And we've done this before when we've had like a summer holiday or Ben's wedding or whatever it might be. We try and get stuff in the bag, don't we? So we have got
pre-record podcast
release.
Yeah.
Every single Monday, because we don't want to let you down.
Which is why I don't see my family at the moment, because I'm constantly recording podcasts with Sharon.
Tell me about it. Honestly, it is relentless. But again, life gets in the way, doesn't it? Stuff still happens. So we have got this diary, and then that might fall down, or it's like, oh, actually, I can't do that. I can't record then. And so the reality is it might not be possible to get, well, we certainly can't get 3 months worth of podcasts in the bag. Absolutely not. We have just simply not got enough hours in the day. And we will do it where possible. But if after a couple of weeks when I've come out of hospital and I am recovering at home and I'm lounging in my new pajamas and, you know, dressing gown or house coat, as some people call it.
Being waited on hand and foot by Paul. And
me. I'm going to get my little bell. Yeah, come round and see me. Come round. There's no reason why I cannot chat into a microphone. that should be okay. That should be okay. Yeah. It's just a weird thought, Ben, doing nothing. The events, going out with the kids, just doing nothing. Actually, there is a benefit to this.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's going to be May, June, July, August, maybe summer. If we get a summer this year and I can sit in the back garden on my, you know, new garden cushions, that'll be nice.
Yes. No, it would be. And I would encourage you to do so.
Vitamin
D. Did alcohol come up in any of the conversations with the doctor in terms of, like, you know, did he ask if you were a drinker and talk about alcohol in the recovery stage or anything like that?
It was really funny because obviously you have, first of all, you see your doctor and then you see the consultant and then you see the nurse for the pre-op, and every single time they go, oh, can you fill in this form? And then they all ask me the question, you know, how much alcohol do you drink? And I go, excuse me one sec. And they go, zero. It's just that moment, isn't it? Where you can actually go, you know, with honesty and conviction and absolute pride, I say, you know, I don't drink. So it's never come up as a conversation because it's just a big fat zero. Mm. But in the past, you know, you said to me about, would I have even considered going to the doctors with some of the things in my list, you know, that I was experiencing? Probably not, because you know what, Ben, I'd have been worried that they'd have asked me about my drinking.
But just, I'm thinking about the kind of, you know, the recovery stage. And you're in better nick than you've been in for years, aren't you, really? Like, when you think about all things considered. I mean, I know you got dodgy knees after the London Marathon and, you know, but there's lots of things that you have got going for you in terms of being a healthier person than you were when you were living a different lifestyle. So you've got to think that might help and get us back to podcasting a bit quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. It should all be okay. Can I just take you back to that note I wrote for my GP?
Yeah, yeah, do it. Yeah.
Is this the
dry balls note?
No, this is a different one because I've since mentioned dry balls. Hmm. So the original list, shooting pains in boobs, hairs on chin, hair falling out, anxiety, weight gain around the middle, forgetfulness, brain fog, irregular periods,
bladder
worse than ever.
Sorry, shit joke. Terrible joke.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
See, the fog didn't even register. It's just, what? Pardon? Yeah. Hello? So that was my list then. And all of those things have since, you know, probably got worse. And I can add to that list now. So since I started taking the HRT and patches, I get really dry eyeballs at night. That is another symptom of you know, menopause, and it's all connected. And I know this because of the surgery that's coming up, I've now had to take the HRT patches off because you can't have them ahead of surgery, and my eyes are going back to normal, which is just...
No way.
Honestly, Ben, it's bonkers. It's bonkers. But when you've got all this going on, if you can remove the alcohol, you have got a far better chance of navigating it, of knowing exactly what you're dealing with. Take that out of the equation and deal with what you're left with. And it's so much easier, honestly.
And I know that you've said that you're nervous, but do you think that, you know, we always talk about how you remove alcohol and life still happens, you know, because that's just life. And some great things happen, some shit things happen, because that's life. But being alcohol-free gives you that kind of clarity to rationalise stuff.
Yeah, completely.
Do you think that you being alcohol-free as... helped you to process nerves in the run-up? Has it helped you to rationalize? Or actually, because we are very honest here, we've got to be honest. Or do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, no, I completely get where you're coming from. I tell you what it has meant is that I'm less dramatic. Do you know what I mean? When you've got a problem or an issue.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've got to go to hospital. Oh, my God, I've got this issue going on. Oh, my God, you know, I need a glass of wine. That there's none of that. All the drama is removed and you're just dealing with facts. You know, you're just getting on with it. Has it helped with the nerves and the anxiety? No, because I think menopause screws you over on the other side of that, right, with the way your brain works and you experience sort of feelings that you might have not had before. So it's a bit of a blurry one, that, but I would definitely say that being alcohol free means there's less drama surrounding any life event, you know, that you're dealing with, any curveball that you're thrown. You just get on with it, basically, to the best of your ability, and with clarity, because you're not sloshed or hungover. You're just cracking on.
Yeah. Cool. I've only got one more question, which is, can I help in any way? Can I do anything?
Oh, bless you. Ben, what can you do?
Can I bring you a year's supply of ice cream and deliver it all at once?
No, I've not got room in my little freezer. I've only got a small freezer.
That's another one. Was that a premium pod? We talked about that. Shaz interviewed a guest on a radio show who won a year's supply of ice cream on a TV game show. And Shaz asked the question I was desperate, I was listening and desperate for her to ask, which is, how do they deliver it?
How'd you get
it? Which is such a great question. And he said, all at once. You get a year's supply of ice cream all at once. And he said he couldn't fit in his freezer, so he had to give it to all the neighbours. That was the only option. He was just knocking on doors. Going, do you want to...
funny story.
I know I haven't seen you for a while, mate. And yes, I've still got your drill, but would you like some ice cream?
It's 7 litres of vanilla.
please. And please, can you take more?
My word. Don't turn up with a wheelbarrow full of ice cream. That is not necessary.
No,
Ben, thank you. I've got... You're just ace. I just know that... You know, with you and with Scottish Kelly and with Admin Ange and with our team of Zoomers and with just our fabulous, amazing community on top of, you know, my lovely family. It'll be right. It'll be fine. I'll probably be pissing them off no end because I'm hanging around the house for three months and it's not something they're used to because I am always going at like 100 miles an hour. But I say I function well at that sort of speed. That's just my life, and it's how I think I like to live it. I'm about to find out on the other side, you know, what it's like to basically slow down and not do all the things that I suppose you think you need to be doing. We shall see. I'm just gutted I can't do any mountains, or she says gutted, relieved that I can't do any mountains or big hikes with Over the Influence. No, just keep replying to me. My inane WhatsApps that are sent 24/7, Ben, that's all you need to do.
I tell you what, my favourite thing about WhatsApp is they introduced that little thing where you don't have to reply to a message. You can just hold it and then do a thumbs up or a smiley face. God, isn't that just a revolution? Saves so much time. Sharon said something, I'll just go, yep, thumbs up. Bang,
thumbs
done.
Up.
I've
done.
Replied.
Shut her up for 5 minutes. Get her off my case. Oh, Ben, I'll have so many hours to kill, though.
No, please do keep texting me throughout and keeping me updated, please. Because it's, you know, for me, it's been, you know, I'm really glad that you're so honest about this stuff. And I'm really glad for our audience. And I know that lots of people have listened to this and, you know, they will relate to bits of it. And maybe, and you did say that when we talked about it on the premium pod, that people went, oh, actually, you know what? Interesting you say that. I'm going to go and see the doctor myself. So, you know, but just, you know, selfishly and personally for me, I've learned a whole load about women that I never knew before following your journey.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, I've got women in my life. You know, I've got a wife. I've got a stepdaughter who's 11. Yeah. You know, I feel like men should know more about this kind of stuff.
We're not really women,
but we've got women that we love in our lives.
Totally appreciate that. And you know what I would say as well is, you know, if you are a woman listening to this, maybe still as a drinker and you're sober curious and you are of a certain age. I mean, I know that perimenopause and menopause can affect, you know, many different women at various different ages. But, you know, you sort of do hit mid to late 40s, tipping into early 50s. And there's just this whole raft of symptoms. I think there's something like... It's either 70 or 90. You know, you can go online and there's so much support.
That is
so
crazy.
Much information. It's, honestly. And just when you think you're tackling one thing, another symptom pops up. And while you're dealing with that, a big sort of like black hair will just pop out your chin there. You're like, I thought I got that one last week. It's an absolute nightmare. So they can range from the ridiculous to more serious. In particular as well, if you are feeling anxious and feelings that you've not felt before, you know, I would totally urge you to write a list, get it all down, consider removing the alcohol if it's safe for you to do so. And if that's not the case, you know, because obviously we don't know the amounts that people drink, don't feel any shame or embarrassment in going to see your GP for qualified medical advice, depending on, you know, the levels that you're drinking at. Just get a list in your phone, because one of the symptoms of menopause, as we've already said, is forgetfulness. It is brain fog. Write it all down. Remove the booze and you'll know exactly what you're dealing with. I hope some of that, Ben, made sense, because I feel like I was absolutely all over the show.
You really weren't, and it all made sense and it was great. And I wish you the best. I'll be there, not physically, but on the end of a phone.
Don't do that.
No. What are you doing here? What's that microphone?
Who's he?
Are you recording?
Really?
No. It's for the Prem Pod. Speaking of the premium podcast, by the way, if you've enjoyed this episode where it is me and Shaz just wanging on with each other rather than with a guest, then this is what we do every single week on the Premium Pod. You can get it through Apple Podcasts. You can get it through Spotify. Just click on the subscriber-only episodes bit. And there's a whole back catalogue now. There's hours of me and Shaz just chatting crap to each other.
It's premium, alcohol free.
Yeah, this
content,
hasn't been crap, but, by the way. But sometimes the premium podcast does verge into, why are we talking about? We're supposed to be talking about premium alcohol free content here.
It does. It teeters into ridiculous territory, but we feel like we're amongst friends, so we can. And actually, I've got to say, talking like this from a very personal level on the main podcast, I'm a little bit nervous, to be honest. It feels quite exposing.
It's how our guests feel every single week. Do you know what I mean?
Aren't they amazing? Aren't they the best?
I always use it. I remember when I was a producer in Birmingham, and I was one afternoon, Saturday afternoon, I was listening to the football phone-in show, and I could tell that, it's like, we've worked in radio for a long time. I could hear that they weren't getting the level of calls through that they normally might do. There's a funny thing about football phone-ins on the radio where they go absolutely mad when your team's lost. When you've had a crap weekend, the phones go nuts. When you've had a massive win, people don't want to talk about it. They're not bothered. When you've had a loss, but I could hear that they wanted phone calls. So I thought, right, I'm going to give them a call. You know, do my bit. I work for this radio, so I'll give them a call in the garden with sausages on the grill. And, I called them up. And it was a new producer I'd not met before. I was like, I'm Ben. I want to talk about, John McGinn doing this or whoever it was at the time. And he goes, let me put you on hold and I'll put you through to Tom in a minute. And I was like, yeah, cool, great. So just kind of da, 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 da. And he comes back on and he goes, just so you know, Ben, 30 seconds countdown and you'll be live on the air. And bearing in mind, I was on the breakfast show of this radio station every single day on air with a microphone going out to thousands of people. As soon as he said you're going to be live on air in 30 seconds, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be live on air.
It's different, isn't it?
It was weird, yeah, but it was a really good reminder. But that exactly how you feel is how our guests must feel every single week. Like, we don't push people to share stuff they don't want to share ever, but people do want to use this platform to talk and share stuff.
Absolutely. So, and I hope if it strikes a chord with one woman listening, with one person listening, if it's the alcohol side of things about removing it so you know what you deal with, or if you are going through or you're in the eye of the shitstorm that is perimenopause, it is good to talk about it. And there's so many resources out there. We did a masterclass actually within our community. This might have been 12 months ago, with a wonderful woman, Katie from the Latte Lounge, an amazing resource, fantastic website. Look that up as well. There's so much good stuff on there. But I will reiterate the point again: make your list in your phone, and if you're feeling out of sorts, it might not be the alcohol. Remove that and just give yourself a chance and you'll know exactly what you're dealing with. And again, I feel like I'm ping-ponging my way through this episode. Hope I've made some sort of sense.
You've been great. Shaz, thank you. Oh, hang on. I was about to do the outro like I did the intro then. It just felt wrong.
Do you think that'll sound weird? It'll feel weird.
What will? Which bit?
Like you doing the outro.
Yeah, no. Not happy with it. I don't want to do it.
Right, fine. I'll go back into host mode. Fine. Absolutely.
Thank you for coming on, Sharon, guest Sharon, and sharing your story.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Ben, thanks for having me. It's been it's been lovely. I love OTI. It's dead good.
Yeah, listen,
brilliant. I've listened to you. I actually do because I am that tragic. Thank you for listening to this different episode of Over the Influence. We so appreciate you listening. If you'd like any further information about our amazing community, and it sounds a bit of a cliche, but it is. Honestly, it is the best community. The postcards for 100 days are going out left, right and centre. People are smashing it. Not always easy, but it's always worth it. Ping us an email and we'll answer any questions that you might have. OTIHQ@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Thank you for being part of what we do. We will be back, hopefully, same time next week.